Forgers and Artists, True Stories. Narrated by Paul Sperra. Fernand Le Gros, The Mystifier. There are people you meet and can never forget. Fernand Le Gros is one of those. He is one of the 20th century's greatest forgers, and yet he never painted a single picture. A flamboyant mystifier, a mythomaniac, there are few verifiable elements of Le Gros's life. We do know with certainty that he was born on January 26, 1931, in Ismailia, Egypt, to a French accountant father, Eugène Le Gros, who was born in Marseille, and a Greek mother, Xenia Papanikolos. Even as a child, Fernand had a rebellious streak. When he was about 10 years old, he was preparing whiskey for his parents' apéritif while talking with his uncle, Roland Chacour, about his future. Given Fernand's poor school results, his family was considering sending him to study with the Jesuits. To get back at them, Fernand urinated in the glasses before serving them the whiskey. These facts are confirmed by Chacour. After the Second World War, Fernand Le Gros moved from Cairo to Paris. In 1950, he danced in the troupe of Zizi Jeanmaire. He also claimed he was part of the ballets of the Marquis de Cuevas, which seems less likely given that the dates don't match. Sent to military service in 1952, he was discharged following a suicide attempt. He liked to tell people that in 1953, he was a friend of Dag Hammarskjöld, the Secretary General of the UN, and that he spied on him for the CIA. An unverifiable claim, as everyone knows, because the organization does not give out any information on its agents, real or presumed. Nevertheless, Fernand earned his first $1 million at the age of 25. He bought a 4,000-square-foot apartment in Paris at 89 Avenue Henri Martin and had a villa built in the hills of Ibiza. Where did this money come from? Le Gros explains that he bought Caribbean beaches for 25 cents a square meter and then sold them for $1,000 a square meter to developers. His imagination is matched only by his nerve and his charm. He decides to move to California, where he becomes a broker and then an art dealer. Noticing how easy it is to sell paintings in the U.S., he sets up a scheme. He travels to Paris with a stock of fake paintings, gets stopped at customs, and confesses with an air of shame that his paintings are copies. The customs authorities think it's a ploy to avoid paying import duties on works of art and has them authenticated. The experts issue official and regulatory certificates. Le Gros pays the tax and leaves with his real fake paintings, which he can now resell, with a stamp of approval from the French government. He has so much verve that he never has to bribe anyone. He gets Alice Derain, the painter André Derain's widow, to attribute 24 paintings to her late husband. The aging Kees van Dongen signs as his own a canvas painted by Le Gros' talented young lover of 13 years, Réal Lessard. Lessard, unbeknownst to van Dongen, has produced numerous forgeries that are resold by Le Gros. Never short of ideas, the swindler claims he met Picasso once at the terrace of a bistro in Valoris on the French Riviera. Le Gros brought the Spanish master a large pastel to authenticate in exchange for a coffee. He says Picasso smiled at the painting and signed it, allowing Le Gros to sell it for a good price. The drawing was probably by Elmire de Horry, whom Le Gros met at a party in New York in 1955. The lawyer, Roland Dumas, issued a denial stating that his client, Picasso, had never met Fernand Le Gros. Another way to obtain certificates is through auctions. The works are presented to the auctioneer, who, duped, identifies them as real and then puts them up for sale. If they don't find a buyer, the seller, Fernand Le Gros, that is, leaves with his paintings under his arm and a proof of authenticity from the firm. In the early 1960s, Fernand Le Gros receives 20 million francs from Japanese Prime Minister Eisaku Sato for contemporary French masterworks destined for Japanese national museums. André Malraux, then the Minister of Cultural Affairs, on a visit to Tokyo, declares it's a pity that these masterpieces have left France. Fernand Le Gros's reputation as an art dealer increases tenfold. He organizes an exhibition of Raoul Dufy in the Pont Royal galleries. Collectors lend authentic paintings, which are presented at the opening to the greatest experts, who all sign the guest book. The next day, the day of the opening of sales to the public, the works are replaced by fakes. Another method, another scam. André Pacitti, an expert with the bank Crédit Municipal, is so respected at the time that it becomes difficult to sell a painting without a document initialed by him. He's so in demand that he only gives a few seconds' study to the paintings presented to him for authentication. Le Gros pawned one Durand and five Dufys, all of which were authenticated. Fernand Le Gros has his first setbacks with the law in 1963, accused of selling a fake Toulouse-Lautrec. He gets away with it by reimbursing the buyer, who drops the lawsuit to avoid bad publicity. But between 1964 and 1967, he sells $527,000 worth of artworks to Alger Hertel Meadows. The Texan oil man donates those paintings to museums in order to deduct their value from his taxes. Of the 54 paintings in the collection, Dufy, Utrillo, Matisse, Laurencin, estimated in total by the tax experts at $7 million, 38 paintings will be recognized as forgeries by the president of the American Art Dealers Association. Réal Lessard, the lover under Le Gros's thumb, opens a gallery in Paris without telling Le Gros in order to free himself from him. Feeling betrayed, Le Gros reports him to the police, who arrest Lessard in January 1967. In March, Albert Marquet's widow files a complaint for the sale of a fake, although it's been doubly certified. The auction, planned with this painting and other fauvists in Pontoise, near Paris, is cancelled at the request of Marcel Marquet and the Committee of Art Galleries. Meadows, the Texan, files a lawsuit in July. In November 1967, Fernand Le Gros disappears, and an international arrest warrant is issued against him by the French courts. The swindler hides in Portugal and then in Brazil. In March 1968, using a false passport in the name of Fernand MacDonald and wearing a blonde wig, he tries to join his former lover Lessard in Geneva. He is unmasked at the bar of the Saint-Gervais Hotel and arrested by the police. Incarcerated in the Saint-Antoine prison, he tries to commit suicide with barbiturates. He awakes from his coma at the Cantonal Hospital, where he's treated for a nervous breakdown. On December 24, 1968, he's released on bail and placed under house arrest. France demands his extradition in vain. A book on the life of Elmire de Hory, written by Clifford Irving and entitled Fake, is published in 1969. The book is adapted into a documentary by Orson Welles and portrays de Hory as a poor aristocrat manipulated by the evil Le Gros. It is during this period that Le Gros abandons his image of a clean-cut businessman. He registers his Rolls-Royce in Liechtenstein to display the initials FL. He shows himself in a monkey coat, big black glasses, matching cigarette holder, and a wide-brimmed felt hat. This look inspired the famous Belgian comic book artist Hergé to draw the villain Andadine Akas in his unfinished album Tintin and the Alpha Art. The name is derived from a Brussels expression, en dat in a casse, which can be translated as, and take that in your face. Le Gros may be temperamental, violent, angry, and conceited, but he announces far and wide that he has one quality, a soul. The only thing that counts in a man, according to him. His soul, he declares, he puts it at the service of his friends. A jet-setter in gay circles, rumor says he spends upwards of 20 million Swiss francs in 5 years throwing parties. His money comes partly from the sale of his Paris apartment in 1969, but mostly from Arab and African rulers. Le Gros mentions in particular King Faisal of Saudi Arabia, who bought $20 million worth of paintings from him. An affair of morality, in which Le Gros is condemned for pedophilia, sounds the death knell of this high-rolling period. He escapes from the psychiatric hospital in which he's detained and flees back to Switzerland. Having then fled to Brazil, he's arrested in April 1973 in Rio de Janeiro and transferred to a prison in Brasilia. He's extradited to France on April 14, 1974. He makes another failed suicide attempt, but remains incarcerated in the Fresnes prison near Paris. 3 months later, he's released on bail for 150,000 francs. A beard perfects his style, and he appears in interviews and TV shows. In 1975, the writer Roger Perfit publishes his biography, which is a bestseller. Various trials follow, however, all of which Le Gros loses. On July 3, 1979, the Criminal Court of Paris sentences him to 2 years in prison for receiving 32 paintings sold to the Texan, Meadows. The pomp is over. The king of forgers is ruined. In 1983, he dies of throat cancer at his sister's home in Charente, in total destitution and indifference. He was 52 years old. Did you like this episode? Feel free to comment, share, and rate it. See you soon for new stories. Midnight Studio, addictive podcast creator.